talking about real estate right now. When we talk about real estate matters, it matters to you. My name is Jay Enzo, and we are live here from Research Triangle Park area of North Carolina. Today's show, we're going to talk about something that matters to everyone. Businesses, real estate matters that matter to you. And recently, the National Association of Realtors has made a settlement, or is about to make a settlement, of $418 million. Why? Well, that's probably the question some of you are really asking. There's a lot of misinformation when it comes to the media, as well as how does this affect you when you're doing real estate? How does this affect real estate agents as they do real estate? What does this mean for conducting real estate in general? Well, we're going to try to muddle through, because there's a lot of things to muddle through. And we brought back founder, president, CEO, owner of Linda Kraft Team Realtors, Linda Kraft, who is going to join us today as she returns to help us muddle through this. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much. And muddle is a really good word, because there is a lot going on. If you've been watching the news and watching social media, you're seeing a lot of opinions and you're seeing a lot of very dramatic, exaggerated information coming out of the news. And if you think about it, our most intelligent people know that when the news comes out, a lot of it is inaccurate because they haven't had time to verify it as fast as they got to push it out 2 and 3 times a day. And then what they have verified could still be a little bit wrong, or it's at least exaggerated, because the more eyeballs they get on the news, the more they can charge their advertisers. So I hope to be able to express, you know, the other side, because you're not hearing that. And then when it comes to social media, you're hearing a lot on social media from people that are saying that real estate agents make too much money. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about social media is it gives a platform for everyone who has an opinion to express it. And I think that's okay. But the people that are expressing their opinion really do not know what it's like to be a real estate agent. So I'm going to take a moment and just address that, and then we'll jump in. Excuse me, the pollen in North Carolina is killing me. I have no voice. We're going to jump in then to what's happening. But okay, maybe it's going to come now. All right, let's see. So whenever you get a real estate license, it's a pretty low entry. You go to school, you pass a very difficult test, and then you pay a few dollars to the North Carolina Real Estate Commission, and you become a broker. And when you think about how many people have gone through that exercise, in the state of North Carolina, we have over 100,000 people with an active real estate broker's license. Now, most of those have tried to create a career in real estate and failed, and they went back to their real job. And some of them are keeping their license active because it's so easy to do that. They just take 8 hours of continuing ed, pay $50 a year, and for about $200 a year for the rest of their life, they can have a real estate broker's license. They could do the business of real estate, but most of them do not. A lot of them keep it with the hopes that when they retire from the real job, maybe they'll have a second career in real estate. And I mean, they worked really hard to get that license and they're going to keep it. However, they are not realtors. To be a realtor, and everybody's so confused about that, but to be a realtor, you have to pay dues to your MLS system. You have to pay dues to the National Association of Realtors. You have to pay dues every year to the main association, your yearly dues. So you are writing checks, you are spending money every month so that you can be a realtor. So again, there are millions of people that have a real estate license. There are 1.5 million people in the United States that are actually a realtor. Now, one of the beautiful things about having this professional organization is that they track how many houses and how much money we actually make. And I just want to share with you on social media that think we make too much money, that last year's report was after they took away all the people that made zero sales, $0, that were paying all those dues to be able to be a realtor. After they took it out of the equation, they divided it by the number of sales in that year and the number of agents, and they found that the average agent sold 4 houses. So 4 houses would equivalent to about $20,000 in income. That's not a lot of money. It takes a long time. This business is hard to build a career. And I interviewed an agent last week who's been in the business for 4 years, has their license with another company, has been working really hard, and has not sold anything. So who would go to work for 4 years, pay your employer money to let you stay there, and not make any money back. So I really hope that people talk and get more information about the hard job it is of being a realtor. We work 7 days a week. We have phone calls at 10 o'clock. We work holidays because that's when you're not working and have time to visit with us. So it is not easy money by any sense. And what's getting ready to change is going to make it even harder on buyers and harder on realtors. So right now, most buyers are upset because the interest rates are about 7% and they feel like that's too high. But if they don't buy a house this year and get it closed by July, they're going to find that either they're completely out of the market or they're going to need even more money to be able to buy a home. So talk to us. We'd love to help you. But I want to take you back in time because what I really think is getting ready to happen for realtors is the way we've been doing business has been very efficient, very professional, in my opinion, but it's getting ready to slow down a lot because they're removing some of the tools that we use that really help us to serve our clients.
So before we get to that, let's talk about what this NAR settlement is about so that people can get a clear picture of what is this about.
I would love to get to that a little bit later if you don't mind, but what it is about is if it's a proposed settlement and they will have a hearing sometime late April, and if it is approved, and we think that it will be, there's going to be several changes in how we do business that is going to affect buyers. And so I'm going to dig into that I'm just an educator, Jay. I got to educate. I got to educate. I just want people to know. And so I'm going to take you back in time to 1970 when I bought my very first house. And the way I learned about homes for sale, I would wait until Sunday when the newspaper came out, and I'd have about three lines and would give me just a little bit of information about a home. And then I would have to call the listing company to get more information to see if I wanted to take a look at that home. It was very slow. It was a lot of work. In 1985, I got my real estate license here in North Carolina and started pursuing my career. And I struggled a lot of years too, just like most realtors do. But we had an MLS book and it came out every 2 weeks. And in the front of the book was new listings. Then it was the current active. And then behind it was a sold. So if we were going to meet with a home seller to give them an idea of what they might be able to list and sell their house for, we had to look through paper in the back of a book. And we didn't have much information. That one page had six properties. So unlike the newspaper in the 70s, we just had text. We did have one front photo, a little bit of information. And we were on the phone all the time calling agents to get more information and then letting the consumer or our buyer know what we found that might be a match and go out and show property. So then the internet came out and that was wonderful. Because realtors and realtor associations, through their dues, built a beautiful website that allowed us, instead of going to a book and flipping pages, to go to a website that was a privately held website just for realtors. And we could put our listings in. We had a lot more information. Now, we were on dial-up, and it took a while to get there. But that's what we did. And so we did not at that time, used to be, you had to pick up a key at an office, go show a house, take the key back. We had lock boxes that came out at that time, and with appointments, we could get in and show property. So things were getting better. And then we eventually got centralized showing service. So we, instead of calling all these offices, hoping that somebody would call you back to approve your appointment and give you the combo or whatever it is you needed to get in, it was much more efficient because we had centralized showing service. So came down some pressure that, hey, you realtors, you've got this private database and it should be ours because we paid for it and we built it. But they really felt like that we needed to share it with the public. And so through a lot of discussion, a lot of pros and cons, the MLS systems around the country chose to go ahead and do what's called an IDX feed or Internet Data Exchange, where we would allow other websites to have our information and push it out on their website so that home buyers, instead of looking at newspapers or calling agents and asking questions, they can actually go online, see homes, do their own research, and be much more informed. And that sounds really, really good, and it is. And there is probably somewhere between, I don't know, probably a million websites right now that you could go to search for houses if you wanted to, because we freely gave that information to all these other websites or people that own websites. So the big ones that excuse me. The big ones that you hear about, of course, is Zillow. We call it Zillow the Gorilla because it's so big and powerful. And Realtor.com. And so some of the noise that you're hearing on social media is that realtors are really upset right now with some of the decisions that NAR has made. And one of those was many years ago when NAR used to own Realtor.com and they decided to sell it. Now, I don't know why they made that decision. I'm sure they're sad they made that decision. You know, NAR, National Association of Realtors, is like the mother over us. And my mother made a lot of mistakes too, and I still love her and forgave her. But there's a lot of realtors that are upset we sold Realtor.com. And the reason is we used to be able to put our listings on Realtor.com, and all around the U.S., people could search our homes for sale. Sellers loved that. Agents loved it. It was great. But when they sold it, they started to then take our information, just like Zillow does, and sell it back to us. So as upset as everybody is about some of the things that were happening in some of the states, not all the states, nobody seems to be upset with what's happening to the consumer with the way they're falsely advertising without disclosure listings on Zillow and Realtor.com, where you will see a house and you're interested in it and you see a realtor's picture next to it and call me, but nowhere does it say, I am not the listing agent. This is a paid advertisement. And so the consumer sees a home, they're interested in it, they make a call thinking they're talking to the listing agent or the listing company to really get the scoop, and they're not. It's a paid ad, but that's not being disclosed. Homes.com is the only one that actually, when you see a house for sale and you see an agent's name next to it, you're really talking to the person who knows information about that property. So please use Homes.com, and I'm digressing a little bit. All right, so let's talk about what happened. We're going to kind of go back in time. First of all, I want you to know that the National Association of Realtors was established back in the 1900s. And as I mentioned, we have 1.5 million members. And within that long history of having the National Association of Realtors, we also have a code of ethics that came out in 1913 because we wanted to be real estate professionals. And professionals like doctors and attorneys and engineers, they have code of ethics. We have code of ethics that we have to update all the time as well. And so NAR is an amazing group. I mean, they advocate for us politically. They fight for the American dream of home ownership. They fight for your mortgage interest rate tax deductions that our government is trying to take away. And they offer all types of opportunities for advanced training and designations for realtors. So they are committed to all their realtor members being professional. So besides the National Association of Realtors, we also have a state association. And so when you think about state government, you know that some states allow casinos and marijuana or whatever you call it these days, and other states don't, where every state within the United States have different rules and regulations. And I'm going to come back to why that's really important. So hang on to that one. We also have a local MLS. And it has rules and regulations as well. And what most people don't know is there are over 600 MLSs around the country. Some of them are privately held. The majority of them are under NAR, National Association of Realtors. Hold on to that one. We're coming back to it. And then we have Showing Time, which is the appointment center that allows us to make appointments, and they track when we're in and out through technology. Well, we got rules and regulations with that as well. So in the state of North Carolina, back in 1990, our state and about 12 others decided that it was time to make a change and make sure that buyers and sellers are really informed about how we are paid, who's paying, who's getting what kind of representation can be offered. And so the North Carolina, thank goodness I work here, and the other 12 states, we've actually been doing it right. Where the problem came was the other states that did not adopt our practices. About 2020, there were three major lawsuits filed. They were filed against national companies, RE/MAX, Keller Williams, Home Services of America, and in 2023, they settled for about $200 million. Since that big money got transferred, we've had 23 copycat cases filed and are ongoing right now. So the attorneys that brought this suit said, I just made a lot of money over this lawsuit. I think we're going to go big or go home. And what did they decide to do? Well, they decided to go after the National Association of Realtors, because in doing that, they're coming after not just one brokerage firm at a time, one franchise at a time, but 1.5 million realtors in the organization that we call Mother. Now, I'm going to back up just a minute to the lawsuit that was settled in 2023 with $200 million. I want you to know that the majority of that money is probably going to the attorneys, because that's just the way our system works. And there will be a class action kind of lawsuit where you'll get an, something in the mail that will say, hey, if you sold a house back in this time period, fill out this form, send it in, you might get $200 million or be a part of a $200 million settlement. And when you look at the number of homes that have been sold in the United States, probably every seller that takes their time to fill out that paper is going to get about $10. I mean, it's just not going to be that much going to the people. So what was the complaint? Well, if you haven't read between the lines with what I am already sharing with you, the complaint was there were no written agreements explaining agency. They didn't know who represented who, and sellers were really mad that when they listed their property and they agreed to pay a real estate fee commission for the marketing and representation and sale of that property, successful close, that part of that fee that was being paid to that listing company also paid the buyer's company and the buyer agent. And so that was what the lawsuit was about. Why am I, seller, paying the buyer agent? And so how they positioned it was, if I was going to court to get a divorce today and I hired an attorney to represent me and they said, this is my fee, and oh, by the way, you get to pay for your husband's attorney too, well, they just didn't seem fair. And so the attorney said, hey, we don't like this. I mean, we've been doing this as long as I've been in the business, that's the way it's been done, and way before me, but they just didn't like it. So that was what the lawsuit was about. And there was enough noise in that lawsuit that, like every lawsuit, when you settle, it doesn't mean you were wrong. It doesn't mean you were guilty. It means that you wanted to turn off all the negative publicity, and you wanted to stop the bleeding of writing those checks to attorneys to cover all those expenses. So they settled. So the attorney said, okay, let's go after the National Association of Realtors. And this time we're not going for millions, we're going for billions. Painful. So before I get into the National Association of Realtors and the changes, Jay, could you pull up? I just want to show you all a couple documents that the 15 states that have been doing it right have used. The first one is the Working with Real Estate Agent brochure. Now, whenever in the state of North Carolina, whenever we first have substantial contact with any consumer, we have to explain agency to them. And when this came out, it was in the 1990s. And I got to tell you, we had a lot of continuing education on how to present this. We would meet someone at a home to show a property, or we meet them in our office, and we would have to present this form because we couldn't ask any confidential information at all or learn anything about them without first explaining agency. Who represents who? And literally, we'd have to get them to sign this document. Maybe they just met us the first time in the office or at a home or at an open house, and we needed to get their signature because that was our receipt saying, oh, yes, Linda Kraft and her team, they explained agency. And we had to keep that receipt, and we still do, for 3 years. So when we first rolled this out, I got to tell you, buyers were like, I'm not signing nothing. No way, I'm not signing. And we circled, this is not a contract. It's just a disclosure. I'm not signing. So the real estate commission said, well, we can just cross through, write their name, say they refuse to sign, and then you still keep that piece of paper for 3 years. And that's what we did. Eventually, and it took a long time, buyers and sellers both got more comfortable with, okay, I know you're explaining, you're disclosing agency. In addition to that, we also rolled out at the same time, an exclusive right to represent buyers. We'd always had an exclusive right to represent sellers, but we didn't have an exclusive right to represent buyers for many years that I was in real estate. So here we are in the 1990s, and now we are having buyers hire us to represent them. We are their fiduciary. It is our job to disclose material facts, obviously to be ethical and professional, but more importantly, fight for them to get them the best results we can from a real estate transaction. And so now we have a document that says, I don't have to represent the seller if you buy this house. I don't have to work as a dual agent, which is horrible if you buy this house. I can actually represent you. And oh, by the way, if you scroll down about page 3, I think it is, it shows how much money a buyer agent is going to make at closing if the buyer purchases a home. So there's full disclosure. If for some reason, whatever amount they write in or whatever percent they write in, if for some reason the home that they sell is not paying that, then in most cases, the buyer agent will accept whatever is reasonable, or sometimes the buyer would make up the difference, but that was very rare. Most of the time, it was all paid from the seller to the buyer agent in the transaction. And, you know, when we think about who is paying the commission, the seller says, oh, I pay the commission because I'm paying it and I'm letting you share part of your commission with the other agent. So I'm paying it. But the buyer would say, no, I think I'm paying it because I got this big mortgage and I'm bringing all this money to the table and you wouldn't be able to pay all these people if I didn't give you my money that I'm going to be paying back for the next 30 years. And so really the transaction has always paid the fees. However, people didn't know how it worked. So there was a lot of confusion. So in North Carolina, I'm so glad because we spelled it all out. There was a time period. We knew what the fee was. We also knew that we were going to get that fee through MLS as they disclosed what it was they were paying out and from the transaction or from the seller, however you want to look at it. And it was a great world for a long time. So we also had the same document that we had way before exclusive buyer agency came out. And that document was a listing contract. And on the listing contract, it has how much commission the firm is going to charge and how much commission is going to be offered to the buyer agent. That's always been in writing in the state of North Carolina. Everybody knew who represented who, how you were getting paid, and how much. And by the way, if for some reason that contract for the buyer said that we were going to get 2%, 3%, or whatever it was going to be that we were going to get, and the home that we actually sold had a higher amount than what our contract said, we had to go back to the buyer in writing with another form to show that we had a incentive or a bonus or a higher than what we thought commission was going to be paid to us and get their permission to receive it, or we could give it to them. But everything was disclosed in writing for how many? 15 states in the United States. So enough of all these documents. And by the way, those documents are written by the state of North Carolina. They're updated every July. And so we're always in school to learn about the new changes in our forms, but they're constantly changing and improving. So going back to the complaint. The complaint was that other states were not giving full disclosure, transparency. A little loophole that you could kind of, and I don't think they were. I wish they were. I wish they'd all have been doing exactly what they were. I want everything. So I think that for the first time. I'm you know it ain't worth living if you're dreaming for. I want it all. Always been negotiable. That's why when a seller is selling a home, they usually interview 2, 3, 4, as many as 10 agents, and they say, what are you going to do for me? Where are you going to market your home? What is your experience like? What are you going to charge? And they ultimately make the decision on what they pay in commission. I want it all. Yeah, I want everything. You know it ain't worth living if you're dreaming for. I want it all. And then they said that realtors have a conspiracy because through our MLS system, which again, you know, is the way that we communicate with each other and the world, that we are advertising incentives and offering payouts that are all pretty much basically saying they were the same amount, but they really weren't. They differed. depending on what the seller decided and the listing firm decided. But they basically said that there was a conspiracy with how realtors were paying other realtors to help in the transaction. We call it co-brokering. So the truth is all the percentages, they vary. They're not fixed. That's not true. And so this went on and on for a long time and a lot of money. And the National Association of Realtors has finally proposed that there would be a settlement. And here's what they've agreed to. And here's where it hurts. I'm going to turn this lemon into lemonade for sure. The first, and this is really good, the only good thing I think so far, is that NARA said that if you accept this proposal, I want you to indemnify about 1 million realtors so that we don't keep having all these copycat lawsuits coming after us for the rest of our life. That if this is the settlement and this makes you happy, don't come after my realtors anymore. So it was really good. They protected us. And if you did the math or you're listening carefully, you know we have 1.5 million realtors and they're only covering about 1 million. Well, what happened to the other realtors? They're either already in another lawsuit or they were part of another lawsuit. The other thing I want to let you know is that this, all these lawsuits have nothing to do with buyers. It's all about sellers claiming that they didn't know what was going on in the transaction. So for us realtors, who I feel like we're going back to about 1985, is they're going to require that the multiple listing service, all 600 around the country, by July, remove any communication about what a buyer agent compensation may be. So right now, we have beautiful pictures, lots of details, so much information on the home. And at the bottom of the listing, we literally write how much commission the firm, the listing firm, and the seller is offering to pay out to the buyer agent. And so that's going to be gone. So we realtors will not know if the seller is offering any compensation to the buyer agent or if the buyer is going to have to pay the commission to the buyer agent. We're not going to know who's going to pay who. So there's going to be a lot of phone calls, a lot of questions, a lot more work to get information. And honestly, if some buyers have to pay the commission, they're not going to be able to buy a home. They just won't have the resources to be able to do that. The other thing that's going to happen, and this, you are not going to like this. Because if you thought back in the 90s when we presented the Working with Real Estate Agent brochure and it was not a contract, it was just a disclosure and we needed your signature on it before you could see the home, you're not going to like this one at all. Part of the settlement is, as a real estate professional, I cannot make an appointment to show any property to any buyer unless they have signed a buyer agency agreement that spells out how the commission is being paid and how much it is. So most buyers are not going to want to sign contracts. And by the way, when you sign a contract, you can only sign with one person. So hopefully that's all you do or you really be in trouble. But they're not going to want to sign a contract before they can get in to see a house. I mean, that's very hurtful to them. So, but there's some good thing that's going to come out of that. As I mentioned, and I'll come back to that, but as I mentioned, a lot of first-time home buyers are already pushed out of the market because of the interest rates, and they're getting pushed further out of the market right now because of the changes. They're just not going to have the money. Or they're going to have to buy a home without any representation. And if you're a first-time home buyer, buying a home without representation, oh my goodness, you don't know what you're doing, and you desperately need our help. So I really hope the government will come up with a better plan than we have today. Or you'll end up working as a dual agent, and most real estate brokers do not want to be a dual agent. You know, you can either be a buyer's agent, a seller's agent, or a dual agent. And a dual agent means that you represent one agent represents both the buyer and the seller in the same transaction, which means they don't have any representation at all. In fact, dual agency basically means now you're both on your own because we cannot do anything but disclose material facts. So they have no help at all in the transaction. There's more lawsuits over dual agency than anything else, which is why our firm hasn't practiced dual agency in years and years and years, pretty much forever. And I stopped that one real quick. It's just everybody's upset with dual agent. And then the thing that really breaks my heart is we have people that have served our country in the military. They have risked their life for us. And right now, they're not going to be able to buy a home with their VA mortgage that they have worked so hard to get. because some of the federal loan programs like VA and USDA will not allow the buyer to pay a realtor's commission. So the realtors are going to have to work much harder trying to get information. Obviously, we're going to have to get a lot better at negotiating because we're going to do a lot of negotiations now. Realtors can't work for free. So if those of you that think we make too much money want us to just do it for free, well, we can't because we carry errors and omissions insurance, which protect us and you. And if we work for free, we don't have any insurance. So that would be a really dumb thing to do. And as everything shakes out, sellers may actually end up paying higher commissions than ever before, because we will have some sellers that will decide that they want to go with a discounted listing commission, not pay any buyer agent fee, and just see what happens. And because the buyer agents now will be able to write in with their offer how much of a fee they would like to receive for this great buyer that they're bringing to the seller will have to make a decision. Do I take this offer with this higher fee, add it to the fee I'm already paying, or do I wait and hope another offer comes in? And as our market changes, there's going to be a lot more consideration for those things happening. So what, where do we go from this, and what is good from all this? One of the best things I see is that today buyers are finally going to start interviewing agents to decide who they want to work with before they look at houses, just like sellers do now. Sellers interview agents to decide who they're going to work with, and they sign a contract. Buyers are going to start interviewing agents to see who they want to work with, and they sign a contract. Right now, 70% of the buyers out there, they purchase a home through the first agent that calls them back or answers them online. It's not using wisdom to find an agent who really has experience and knows how to represent you. Literally, there are so many people with a real estate license that do very little business, that do not have a lot of experience. And in our office, we have been doing buyer consultations, presentations, signing buyer exclusive representation contracts. We've been doing everything up front. So I told my team the other day, it's going to be so easy for us because we just got a few things to tweak. Buyers are going to be more educated about making a purchase. And I absolutely love that. That is so good. And realtors all over the U.S., well, they're going to have to get more education. They're going to have to get better at negotiation. They're going to have to really, really become that fiduciary and that trusted advisor that their code of ethics say that we all need to be. And so there will be some good things that come out of it as far as the buyers being more informed and maybe making much better decisions about which home they buy and which one's going to appreciate the best and that sort of thing. But it is going to be rocky. And I think it's definitely going to get settled, and I think it's definitely going to be rocky. It all starts in July, so I'm repeating myself. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about buying a house, you might want to do it now, especially if you want to use that VA mortgage, which is just a lovely program. You know, get out there and start buying. There's going to be a lot of changes, and there's a lot of talk and a lot of confusion. And I hope and pray that this helped you out a little bit.
Well, let's continue while we're on this, because we're way over time anyway, so we might as well just go ahead and do a full hour now.
Okay.
And so because we're way past our time.
All right, I'm going to have some water then. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
You can drink some water. Okay. So I think one of the big things that come out of this is that the state of North Carolina, as well as about 12 other states, have really done this right from the beginning.
A long time.
In fact, one of the things that we know in the state is we're not allowed to talk about commission.
No, not even between brokers.
Not even.
Like, yeah. I have several masterminds that are getting ready to come up with, like, how are we going to communicate if a seller is willing to compensate the buyer agent? We can't put an MLS. I got a call before I show every house. How are we going to communicate this? So we definitely have some masterminds coming up to figure out how we're going to do it. But for a long time, we're going to be back in the 80s. It's going to be a lot of phone calls, and good luck getting a hold of busy realtors, right? Yeah. You're waiting for callbacks.
Well, and this is the other thing. You know, according to the Wall Street Journal, they're saying that this potentially is going to take about hundreds of thousands of realtors out of the business.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. In fact, every year we have fewer and fewer realtors in the business because they're not selling any houses and they're spending a lot of money. So that would definitely happen. I also think that, you know, most people choose a realtor to buy a home with based on who do I know, like, and trust. It may be it's a family member that just got their license, or a friend and they want to help them. It may be that somebody got into real estate and they haven't done a lot of transactions or none. and they don't really know how to present their value. And actually, they may not have any value to present because they don't have any experience in the marketplace. And, you know, when this drama that's happening right now in our lovely United States, it's not happening anywhere else because Canada doesn't have an MLS. Other countries do not have an MLS. And I'm on every month on a global call with real estate brokers like myself around the world. We got a little bit of language barrier sometimes. But I'm like, how do you all do business? You don't have an MLS. You're doing it like what? You're doing what? And I think about what we have right now. And I love the fact that a buyer can sit in their pajamas and scroll through houses for sale on their iPhone because we have developed all this technology to allow it to be easy. And we have this beautiful MLS that they don't have, and yet they don't have the lawsuits that we're having either.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's say that there is life without an MLS. I mean,
I know what that life looked like because I lived it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If there's life without an MLS, if we have to go to life that way, what would that mean to the consumer as well as the agent?
Well, I don't think we're ever going to go to that. So we are always going to have an MLS and beautiful advertising and ease and comfort for consumers to be able to see homes that are for sale and even sold, to do their own research and to educate themselves. We're always going to have that. The only thing right now that is changing, and I think it will be the only thing, is we will no longer be able to advertise if a seller is paying a buyer agent commission, if they have agreed to offer compensation to the buyer agent, or if the buyer agent has to get their compensation directly from the buyer. And our contract now says it can go either way, but 99% of the time, it's already in MLS. We see what we're going to be paid on every home. The buyer never has to worry about writing a check. I do think some of the things that will come down the line, I do think the government will do something and help their vets. I also think mortgage lenders, I know the mortgage industry is working like crazy to see if there's a way that they can finance the fees that are going to be needed for the buyer. I mean, we're definitely going to, realtors know how to pivot. Realtors are resilient. We have been through so much, and mortgage lenders too. And, you know, we're going to figure out some way to make this easier for everybody and to truly help the American dream of homeownership continue.
Right. And I think that I want to go back to the VA USDA thing, because as you explained brilliantly here, they can't pay a buyer's agent, right? And yet there is a cost to buyer's agents to show people property.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with gas costs and time costs.
The dues, the times.
Negotiations.
Yeah, and I think what people don't realize is that most buyer agents are going to work with a buyer for 2 months to 2 years or 4 years before they buy. And some of them never buy. So you work with a lot of people that end up, instead of moving here, they move somewhere else, or something happens with their health, they just decide not to buy. So, you know, you spin your wheels a lot working with people that are never going to buy a home or take a really long time to buy a home. And if I worked with someone for 2 years showing them property before they finally bought a home, and I divided my commission by the number of hours I put in, I should be working at McDonald's. No offense, McDonald's. I know you've raised your minimum wage, but...
Right. Yeah. Because I don't think what people understand is what that time commitment is.
It's huge.
And so I think the buyers, the people who are buyer's agents, it seems to me, are the ones who are the most dramatically affected.
Absolutely. The buyers are affected, and therefore the buyer agents will be definitely affected. And I think we're going to be meeting with a lot of sellers that are now confused. You know, they've been watching the news and they see the social media feeds and, you know, they're trying to figure out what is true. Now, a seller who has sold many times, they get it. They understand the necessity of compensation to get their home shown. If a seller doesn't offer to pay and they are relying on the buyer to be able to pay, realistically, that seller just lost 60% of the people that could buy their home. You know, if they want to sell for top dollar, that is not the way to get there. They want a lot of people to like their home. They want a lot of people to want to buy their home. And that's how you get a great offer and put more money in your pocket. So, you know, I think most sellers know. And by the way, we have a seller seminar coming up March 26th, and we have another one in April. So if you want to learn everything there is to know about selling a home and all the choices you have in today's market, we'd love for you to attend. Reach out to me, or I'll put something on social about it. But it's, we really,
and it is at 7,300.
It is at our office, and we have a limit of 30 seats, but we really want to educate. We've always been educators. That's our life mission, is to educate. And so, and we have a lot of other programs coming as well that you might be interested in attending, all free.
So let's talk about from the seller side here a little bit more in detail. There are some real estate professionals that I've talked to here recently in the state of North Carolina that feel that, well, perhaps there's not going to be a whole lot of difference when it comes to listing property. Some say that there may be, but most of them have said, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of change.
You know, I think every time there is change, the first response is complete and total panic. And we think it's the end of the world and it's doom and gloom. And those of us who've been through a lot of changes know that there's going to be a time period. We got to regroup it. So far, every change I've ever gone through, as painful as it has been better. Mm-hmm. You know, it's made us better. And so I'm telling my team, don't fear. Fear not. You know, it's going to be okay. I also think that we're going to see old things come back. One of the old things is we're going to be calling and having a lot more conversations with realtors, or texting, or, you know, trying to talk with realtors, see what's going on the other side. That information has just been there for us, easy to see. So more time up front. I also think we're going to see a form that I'm not sure every state has, but North Carolina has had for a long, long time, and it's a compensation agreement. So whenever a buyer agent presents an offer to the listing agent, then it will have, in addition to it, a compensation agreement of what they expect to be paid. And then the seller can decide, okay, if I accept this offer with this compensation, here's what I'm going to net. Oh, and I've got another offer, and they're asking for less compensation or more compensation, and this is what I'm going to net. You know, so there'll be a lot more communication with every offer about, are you paying, are they paying, and what do you net, than we've had to do in the past.
Which I find really interesting, because we are moving in such a direction of high technology and AI, and yet this seems to force us back to more of a communication style, face-to-face, or certainly by phone or text.
We are going back in time when it comes to these changes, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and which for me is fascinating, because, you know, with technology, which we thought was so great,
yeah,
right, and it is,
yeah,
don't get me wrong, but maybe we have lost a little bit of our soft skills that now we're going to have to bring back, that you're going to have to be a better communicator. You have to be more clear in your communication as a real estate professional.
Yeah, and let me just clarify, when I say sellers have to look at all these offers of what they're going to net, they've always had to do that. Every real estate professional would say, this is the offering price, these are all of your fees for selling, and this is what you would net from this offer. The only thing that didn't change was their fees for selling were whatever we agreed to the day we listed the property. Now those fees for selling can change based on that offer that comes in and what that compensation agreement says. So instead of doing one analogy and one number covers the whole, now we got to do it with breaking those out. And we actually, our form already had them broken out, because I just thought it was really important to see exactly how much money was going everywhere. But, you know, there's going to be a lot more conversation. And anytime things are not just crystal clear, they're confusing and stressful. And real estate can already be stressful for people. So there's just one more little layer that, you know, that we'll be able to get through. It'll be fine.
I think there's one entity here that we have not talked about. We've talked about the MLS. We've talked about the agent. We've talked about the consumer. But we have a real estate commission here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's excellent. That is one of the best real estate commissions, mm-hmm. and we really haven't mm-hmm. given them enough due as mm-hmm. to how this real estate commission has really done an outstanding job of protecting its agents in the state of North Carolina. Speak to them a little bit.
Well, they've done a fantastic job of protecting the consumer, because that's really what they're for, is to make sure that consumers have realtors that are doing things right. And mm-hmm. so it's a platform where, if or not, you can go online and file a complaint. And they investigate every complaint, even crazy town stuff. But they also have all kinds of education for us. They're really committed to making sure that the realtors in the state of North Carolina are highly educated and professional. I just finished my ethics course, which I have to take every year. every 3 years, mm-hmm. along with my continuing education and my broker update and all those things. And, you know, so there's still, and of course, ethics comes from national, but all the other CE courses, they're from the state of North Carolina, the Real Estate Commission. So we definitely have a lot of governing bodies that are watching over us. And, you know, there are some realtors that really do need to hang up their license. They don't know what they're doing and they just need to go. But the majority of realtors are very committed to their clients. They are trustworthy. They work their tail ends off for you. And, you know, they deserve every penny they get and they deserve more of the respect than they're getting right now. For sure. We have some really good agents. I love realtors.
So when I said that North Carolina Real Estate Commission protects the realtors, what I'm saying by saying that is they educate, they're so committed to educating mm-hmm. the realtors mm-hmm. that it benefits the consumer.
Absolutely.
Because they, and we have, they have an attorney team that sits there and is reviewing everything. Yeah. They make changes to our documents that we put
the North Carolina Association of Realtors is over the documents. The Real Estate Commission is over rules, regulations, yeah, laws, rules. And consumers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but we have two governing bodies that really make sure that we're doing it right. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for the North Carolina Association of Realtors that many years ago said, we are going to go to full transparency, full disclosure, right. agency relationships. It's going to be very clear who represents who. And the North Carolina Association of Realtors said, I'm going to support you in that because we're going to roll out educational classes to make sure that all these licensed real estate professionals know how to communicate clearly agency. And again, if the other states had followed that suit, we would not have the lawsuits that right. we have right now.
Yeah, because this is all about transparency.
That's all it is.
It's about at the end of the day.
People get really upset when they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, which is interesting because I think we take it for granted here.
Because we've done it the right way for a long, long time.
Right. And yeah. and the fact that we're hearing that, okay, you can be in another state and you're not transparent.
Yeah.
How can that happen?
I know.
Because we're...
Because we're all governed under our state. So how can it be that we have casinos in some states and not here? And we have right. legal pot in some states and not here. And we have, right. you know, it's all on a state level. So it all sadly falls back on our government.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
You know?
So this all starts in July.
Supposedly, starting to realistically, we're going to have around the country forms are going to have to be updated. Education is going to have to be rolled out. There's MLSs have to change their programs to take out things. I mean, there's going to be a lot to do in a very short window of time. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's supposed to happen in July. I think we'll probably get a little bit of a grace period because there's just way too much to get set in place. Mm-hmm. The worst thing is that they push the button and we haven't gotten everything removed on MLS. We haven't gotten the right forms that the agents need to communicate clearly. We're going to have a lot of changes. So if you're on the forms committee, my heart goes out to you because you're not getting any sleep right now and you're not going to for a long, long time. But there's a lot of things that are going to change. And although we won't have as much to change here in North Carolina as other states, I don't have to go in and recreate a buyer presentation that explains the value that we're going to bring. I've been doing that for years. Other people are going to have to create those things and figure out how to share. But, you know, we're ahead, way ahead, but we still got a lot to do. So I'm hoping that the July will not be just a really fast, hard date because I think there could really be some problems with that.
So are you talk to other agents, you know, around the country, globally mm-hmm. as well? Here in the country, what is some of the sentiment that you're hearing from them as you talk to other agents that are thinking about this?
You know, I think it depends on the level of experience and maybe a little bit age. You know, the older brokers, and I'm one of those, by the way, that are already kind of like, I've been doing this for a long time. I don't know if I want to go through one more change. I think I might just hang my hat and get out of this. And, you know, we had that when the internet came and we needed websites. We were one of the first ones to have a website. Yes, you remember. And other agents said, I don't want to do anything with some website. I'm going to get out of the business. So we're going to have some of that. And then we're going to have a lot of agents that have never had to present their value They've never had, they don't even know how to think about what it is I actually do for my buyer agents other than open and show houses. They're going to really struggle because they don't know how valuable they are. We have a document that we could send to anybody that has 150 things that we do for our clients. You know, so we know how to sell our value. Those that do not are those that are just too shy to ask to be paid for their work. They're probably going to go get another job somewhere.
I think this brings me to another question when it comes to experience, because I think what may happen here is, especially on the buyer side, you are really going to pay for experience or not pay for experience.
That's exactly. That's what they should have always been paying for. Always.
Because you have to, as a buyer, if you're if we're now paying buyer's commission or some sort of buyer's compensation, you have to make a decision. Do you want somebody who's experienced who can negotiate for you? Or you're gonna settle for less money maybe and take somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing?
Yeah.
What position do you want to put yourself in?
Yeah, and I think for a long time, and I may be repeating myself a little bit because I've said so much, I can't remember totally what I've said. And I've got this camera on me and all these lights. But you know, most of the time, a buyer will ask, "How long have you been in real estate?" And the realtor will answer the question for how long they've had a real estate license. And we have a lot of people with a real estate license with a lot of years with that license, because I explained earlier how easy it is to keep it. It doesn't mean they have any experience. So the question, if you are a buyer, that you really want to ask is not how long you've been in real estate. Time does not equal talent. You want to ask, how many homes did you sell last year?
Yeah, how many transactions?
Yeah, because the more you do, the more you know. And, you know, when I started as a new agent back in 1985, I had a real estate license, but I didn't learn anything about how to sell or serve a client in order to get that license. It was all about real estate law. So it takes a long time to build a career and to get the knowledge, and we get the knowledge by doing.
Yeah. So to me, this experience of transactions is just going to play a larger role, I think, in protecting actually the consumer, Yet the consumer is going to probably pay for that on some level, you know, as well. So I think there's a lot of good that can come out of this. I think it's going to be a lot of change that's going to come out of this. Certainly a lot of change. And I think there's going to continue to be a lot of misinformation, because I think people want to, you know, we have a tendency to remember the first thing we heard and the last thing we heard, and we tend to ignore everything in the middle.
I hope this is the last thing y'all hear. Is this the truth?
Yeah. Hopefully this is the first and last thing that you
hear. I don't care if it's the first, just make it the last, if that's all you're going to remember.
Yeah. Is what, and so, you know, I think that's really, really important. We've had a number of people chime in. We're going to go ahead and close the show here. This has been a lot of fun. You've been great. I was not expecting us to go an hour.
I wasn't either. I thought we were going to do two shows.
Well,
because I knew I had way too much to say.
There was no way I could cut you.
I just wouldn't stop.
So there comes a point where you just go, okay, well, you know what? We're going to do an hour show. I will talk to DBTV and ask them if we can have an hour slot instead of a 30-minute slot.
I bet they're going to want it because this is hot news.
I'm pretty sure that they are. I'm pretty sure that the folks at DBTV, and by the way, we are on DBTV on Saturday mornings. I believe it's early in the morning, 6:30, 7:30 in the morning on Saturdays. You can find that on your Roku app, Roku device, or your Amazon Fire device, and among other ways, LG TVs, Samsung TVs, available to millions of homes all over the world. So you can watch the show, but we're going to ask DBTV to run an hour for this particular episode. Typically, we do 30 minutes. And also, you can find us on YouTube. You've been watching us on YouTube on the Linda Craft Team channel.
LindaCraft.com/podcast.
Yeah. And then this is also on the Linda Craft Team Facebook page that you can be able to watch reruns. It's on Linda Craft, her personal LinkedIn page as well, as well as her ex, formerly Twitter page. This went live out there as well as Twitch. So, and then of course, this is also a podcast as well, which you can find this show on every major podcast as well. So I say all that to say this: if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. That would be fantastic. If you are listening to us on a podcast, give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening for the show. And then if you're watching us on anyone's channel, so many of you have chipped in and said, "Hey, watching, great info, so much information communicated clearly." that's what we try to do on the show, is to educate you, because we do matters that matter to you. So with that said, Linda, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And as I say to you all over the world, you know what that is. Ciao, everybody.